News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
The Minister for Health, Simon Harris, joins us now. Minister, we've loads of issues to talk about. I might just start, though, with that issue. I'm sure you were working. You probably weren't at the game last night.
No.
Your reaction to the booing of God Save the Queen in the Aviva last night?
I think it's embarrassing and idiotic. I think it's highly regrettable. The Taoiseach was there at the game last night.
He tweeted about it.
DUP leader Arlene Foster was there. This is meant to be a country of Cead Mila Fáilte. 100,000 welcome sport is meant to be a unifying event. And after what has been a very, and I'm sure we'll get onto it in a moment, a very intense week in terms of discussions and political discussions about north, south, east, west relationships. I think everyone was hoping for, 90 minutes of a reprieve from that last night. And I think for kind of idiotic behaviour. But you're right, it was a minority, albeit a loud minority. But they were quite frankly idiots and it shouldn't have happened.
Okay, let's move on to Brexit. Look, the Irish government has done its bit. You've got as good a deal as was there and could be obtained. How worried are you by what is happening, though, in the UK? Because the Conservative Party, and we're looking at the screens at the moment, they are tearing itself apart. And it does seem unlikely. We were talking to Matthew Paris earlier on. He thinks it's highly unlikely that this deal can get through the House of Commons now.
I think it's a time for everyone to take a deep breath and calm heads here to prevail. We have a situation where this week there has been an agreement between the EU and British negotiators on the withdrawal agreement. As you rightly say, it's an agreement that by any objective measure is the best Ireland could ever have hoped for in terms of meeting all of the tests that the Irish government set out. So in that sense, it's been a very successful negotiation process. Let's not forget, though, apart from the comings and goings in British politics, this is the week that the British cabinet did approve this agreement. So, yes, the personalities may change and some people, there's a bit of stepping in and stepping out going on in the British cabinet at the moment.
Quite a bit.
But the reality of the situation is the British cabinet has formally also approved this deal. And I think what there is now is a very intensive job of work that the British Prime Minister is undertaking. We're watching her live on the screen here as well, in London, taking questions from British radio listeners at the moment. Let that process go on. Let the British Prime Minister do her job. And a lot of people have written this woman off before. A lot of people have misunderstood her in the past, have perhaps not realised the great tenacity that this British Prime Minister has. She's delivered on her words to Ireland. She has honoured the commitments that she gave the Irish government and the Irish people when we started all these discussions over 1,000 days ago. And I think there's quite a period of time to go now. The 25th of November, European heads of government and heads of state will meet at a special European Council meeting. And then I think Westminster's due to vote on this probably around the 10th of December. So we're already beginning to see, and I think this is a very interesting development in recent hours, we're beginning to see community groups speaking up and speaking out. So if we talk about Northern Ireland, we're after seeing a manufacturing organisation in the north speak out and say, hang on a second, this deal is actually good for Northern Ireland. We're after seeing the Ulster Farmers Association, hardly a bastion of republicanism, speaking out about the importance of this deal for Northern Ireland and how this works for Northern Ireland farmers and it works economically. So I think after the political theatrics that tends to happen when you get to a big crunch moment like this, I think it's a time now for calm heads, for people to actually read the deal. It's 584 pages in length. Consider it, and then let's see where we go. But I think there's a way to go here, and I think it's far too premature for people to be predicting with great certainty, as I see media commentators do, the outcome of the next few days.
Okay, Michael Gove, Jeremy Corbyn, lots of others talking about renegotiating the deal. Is there any wriggle room in your view in relation to this deal?
I don't believe there is, because if there was, I'm sure that would have been arrived at already. The European negotiation team led by Michel Barnier, who I think has done an excellent job and has also fulfilled the commitments he gave the Irish government in terms of no hard border on the island of Ireland, and indeed the UK negotiating team, who worked extraordinarily hard, they have arrived at what they believe to be the best possible deal. The British cabinet has approved it. The Irish cabinet has considered it. I expect now that the European Council will also approve the deal on the 25th of November. So this is a deal that has been hard won by all sides. It's not something that somebody just, chucked down in a piece of paper over a couple of minutes. This is 1,000 days of negotiation, 584 pages of text. It's extremely detailed. But I think we're reaching a moment of truth here, Shane. I mean, people who campaigned for Brexit in the UK, as was their right, and we have to respect their decision, even if we disagree with it here in Ireland, they did suggest that Brexit was simple. These negotiations could be done in a few hours.
Yeah,
Asher, of course.
Clearly
what
not.
We're really realising here is that it was never going to be simple to disentangle
Minister, do you accept that the odds... look long on it getting through the House of Commons at the moment.
No, I think what Ireland should do right now, what the Irish government should do right now, is actually give the British Prime Minister the time and space to do her job.
Okay, fair enough.
That's exactly what I think we intend to do.
Okay, let's talk about Fine Gael. You have your Ardesh this weekend. Obviously, the big question mark is, are you going to renew that confidence and supply agreement? Obviously, that's not solely your a choice for you. It's a matter for Fianna Fáil as well. Are you confident that deal will be renegotiated, that we'll get at least another year of this government? Or are we looking at a general election once Brexit is sorted out?
So now is not the time for a general election. And there's not going to be a big bang moment in the next few weeks where Brexit is sorted out and wrapped up in a ribbon and that's going to be done. There's going to be a significant period of challenge for our country now.
Running until
until summer 2020. And I mean, there's a reason that the Taoiseach suggested...
It's not going to run to summer 2020. Sounds a little self-serving on the part of Fine Gael.
Let me explain why I believe it is. Because even when a withdrawal agreement is agreed, even when Britain leaves the European Union, which is scheduled to happen on the 29th of March next year, we're going to be in a transition period. Like, Brexit is a huge challenge for this country. There are going to be things we need to do to be prepared and ready for when they actually leave.
You're better at reading the political tea leaves than anyone. Sure. You know Fianna Fáil are not going to give you a deal till 2020. They may give you a deal for another year. Is that not acceptable to Fine Gael?
I'm not going to negotiate on the airwaves, and our negotiating team led by Simon Coveney are working very intensively on this. But let me say this.
You kind of were negotiating on the airwaves when you said summer 2020, were you not?
Well, summer 2020 has been the Fine Gael stated position now for many, many months. But what I believe is this.
Fair enough.
I believe now more than ever there's a need for certainty and stability in our country. There's a need now for these talks to intensify and, in my view, conclude quickly. We can't have a situation, you know, we're looking at instability in Britain and talking about it at great length. We can't have a situation here where people like you can rightly ask the question, will the Irish government be in office in the coming weeks? I think objectively, the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste are doing a very good job during a very difficult period in relation to Brexit. They need to have the certainty that they're going to continue in their jobs. And people like me, in difficult and challenging portfolios, need to know now that we can get on with the big programme of reform that we want to do. So if Fianna Fáil are serious about this, and I'm not questioning their bona fides, I genuinely haven't, we need to actually bring this to a conclusion quickly. This is not, you know, we haven't started talking about renewing confidence and supply in recent days. We have been pointing out to Fianna Fáil and indeed to anyone who listen that confidence and supply was due to expire this year. So by anyone's measure, it has expired or is about to expire. And therefore, I think there's a real urgency now to provide the Irish people with the clarity. Is there going to be an election? I hope not. There shouldn't be. Or are we going to extend confidence and supply for a decent period of time so we can actually get on with
the job? Okay, do the talks need to speed up a little bit? Is that what you're saying?
I think they do.
And is Fianna Fáil stalling a little bit?
I'm not being critical here. There was a piece that both parties wanted to do of reviewing how has the agreement gone over the last couple of years. That's appropriate. That's fine. But that time now, I would have thought has elapsed. Now it has to be about the future. We are facing into a very serious challenge here with Brexit. Not just Brexit, the number of other challenges, but Brexit being the most important. We need to be able to answer the question, what is the political stability in Ireland going to look like for the coming months? And there's no reason why that can't be provided by both parties in the coming weeks.
Now, you are the Minister for Health. Let's just talk briefly to finish on health. Micheál Martin was on the show last week. He said the government had failed to prevent a crisis in our hospitals this winter. Just have a listen to what he had to say, Minister.
The Health Service and the Department of the HSE had produced an analysis of what went wrong last year. And their main conclusion was, if you're doing winter planning, you should have your plan ready by the end of July. Mm. So I said to the Taoiseach, where is your plan for 2018 and 2019 winter period? And he went off in a tirade against nurses and doctors, trying to blame somebody else for his own failings and the failings of his government and not having a plan. But and the plan, why do you need to plan by the end of July, Shane? Because you need to recruit people for the winter period. And you also need to have beds in place for the winter period. And what the analysis actually said was, no point in pumping money in November, December, it's too late.
Are you the minister? Are you the man without a plan?
I was just thinking there, if only Micheál Martin had ever been Minister for Health, but then I remembered he was and set up the HSE, and we're living with the legacy of the structural flaws he put in place then and trying to reverse them. Shame we have a plan for winter. This is kind of a cheap political attack that comes from a desperate Fianna Fáil party. I've been engaging with the HSE on an almost weekly basis since July. There's been a huge amount of work done. We have €30 million to spend on this winter period, €10 million between now and the end of the year, €20 million for the start of winter next year. I met with them again as as recently as yesterday to talk about the social care plan. So we're now spending, as of today, extra money on home care and transitional care to reduce the number of people delayed in our hospitals who want to get home but are waiting for a home care package or a transitional care package. We've opened 240 extra beds so far this year. We will open another 79 beds in the coming weeks. But this year, we are trying to do something differently, and the HSE are trying to do something differently. They're learning the lessons of the storm. They're learning the lessons of the papal visit. When they knew there was going to be significant surges, they rose to that challenge and they rose to it very well. Mm. We know the start of January is going to be an extremely difficult period for the Irish Health Service, and they're doing everything they can to try and manage that. And I'm confident that nothing is being spared in that challenge.
Are you sure that there is a plan in place? Because I'm thinking from memory, I'm pretty sure the HSE said in September that they had no winter trolley plan at that stage. Is that correct, or are they right to say that?
So the HSE and my department have been engaging for many, many weeks in relation to this. Final plans were submitted to my department in recent days, but it would be a huge disservice to the HSE and to the people working in the health service to suggest that they haven't been taking actions already. Like, there isn't, again, a big bang moment. Now the winter is here. We actually have to be preparing for this many months out. So there is a winter plan. The social care elements of that, home care, transitional care and the likes, has started. We're also now working on the bits that the Taoiseach rightly highlighted, making sure during the Christmas period that people can still access diagnostics, so no one finds themselves stuck in a hospital bed longer than they need to be there because they want to get home to their family and back to their community as well. So I'm confident everything that can be done is being done. But please don't misunderstand that. The winter is going to be very, very challenging, and it's going to continue to be very challenging until we implement the plans that we've now put in place around Sláinte Care, extra bed capacity, and the new GP contract.
That sounds like you're saying to people, you know, buckle up, because it's going to be rocky for a few more years. Well, that's not the most reassuring message.
Well, I think when you're in a position like I am, you have to be honest with people. And it is a statement of fact that we need to continue to increase the bed capacity in Ireland. Fianna Fáil had fewer hospital beds in the health service when they left office than when they came to office. I've reversed that failed policy. We're going to put 2,600 more hospital beds into our health service. We've started that process very intensively this year. 240 more beds gone in. But it will take time to get to where we want to get to. And what I'm saying to people is, in the meantime, we're going to do everything we possibly can. But we will also need, I suppose, an understanding that that period of time in January is always a challenge. And until we get that extra capacity, and that will continue to be the case.
That sounds to me, though, like you're not very confident that there won't be chaos in our hospitals, in our emergency departments in January.
I think, again, it's a statement of fact that January will be a very, very busy time for our emergency departments. There's no doubt about that. What we are doing is everything we possibly can to mitigate those challenges. And the responsible things to do there are to make sure that you have maximum amounts of social care support so people can get in and out of our hospitals and back home as quickly as possible, that you open extra hospital beds where possible, and that you have your hospitals rostered appropriately so people can access diagnostics. So I want people to know everything that can be done will be done. €30 million extra will be spent. Okay. But I'm also telling people, quite honestly, that we have to implement these major reform plans that we have, and we want to get done, like Sláinte Care, if we're truly to build the health service that we need and deserve.
Minister for Health, Simon Harris, thanks indeed for coming into us this morning.